Start in crocodile pose, Makarasana. So face down, spread your feet about mat width. Rest your forehead on the forearms and draw the elbows in enough so that your chest is slightly lifted. And then bring your attention to breathing. You can feel the center of the body expanding, the lower ribs opening out to the side, the back body opening. And then relaxing the breath and let your mind rest with breathing and the body. Keep the body and mind both relaxed, centering your awareness in the body, centering your awareness in the movement of the breath, and allowing the breath to be smooth and even, and allowing the breath to slow down. When you're ready, you can sit back on your heels and then roll over onto your back. Keep your feet on the floor, knees up, and then interlace your hands overhead. Turn the palms of the hands away from the crown, and you can stretch up through the shoulders. So just a couple of relaxed breaths first, and be aware of how the shoulder blades and the upper spine are resting on the mat. And soften the base of the neck and the base of the skull, and all around the shoulder blades and the upper back, all of the muscles you feel stretching here. So you can soften the elbows if you need to. And some of you may need or not be able to keep the fingers interlaced. In which case, just stretch the arms overhead the best you can. Your intention is to get down into the shoulders and to the upper spine. So paying more attention to that upper back and around the shoulder girdle than the arms, so that we're able to work with the restrictions closer to their source here in the core of the body. Now, four things are going to happen simultaneously on this next practice. The feet press into the floor. There's an exhalation. The pelvic floor and the lower belly contract, and the arms reach up away from the crown. So as if a wave moves from the feet all the way through the core of the body and out through the hands with the exhale and this contraction driven from the contraction in the lower belly and the pelvic floor. So on the inhale, everything softens, the body fills up. On the exhale, feet, pelvic floor, lower belly, and arms reaching out. On the inhale, everything softens. And again, feet into the floor, belly, pelvic floor, and lengthening. Try to broaden the back as you are exhaling and lengthening, so it's not you're not pushing the rib cage up off the floor, but actually broadening the back body as well as lengthening. And then you can take a resting breath or two when you're ready. And soften the elbows, and jaw, face, eyes. So part of what we would like to do is bring attention, awareness, and energetic movement to the back body, which tends to be, we tend to pull out of it in our everyday life, especially if we're sitting hunched over a keyboard or electronic device or a book or whatever else we're doing on the sitting at the desk. Things get put out in front of you and the back body is lost to our awareness. So broadening and breathing into the back of the body, softening, and then also trying to stay broad and soft in the back body as we work through this sequence. Now let's roll over onto your hands and knees, and then you can shift your sit bones up into downward facing dog pose. And stretching out through the arms and through the sit bones, let the spine be long. Think more about the length of the spine and of the body and less about the hamstrings, at least in the beginning here. So heels can be up, the knees can be soft, whatever it takes. And then just kind of find your way into recreating some alignment and integration in the body, both with the awareness and with energetically waking up places that might be stuck or kind of dead or asleep. And that includes also the shoulders and the arms, so you're sort of reestablishing connection between the legs and the arms here. When you're ready, we'll step the right foot forward for a lunge. You can keep the knee up or down as you like, but the key thing here is to get a good opening across the groin right here at the hip joint, which is, of course, contracted, shortened with excessive sitting. So moving the heel back and lengthening across the joint is the action. The other thing that you can do here to good advantage is what you've just seen Kim do, move the spine deeper into the body. So the spine moves towards the front of the body and it lengthens. So you feel a lengthening all the way from the crown to the heel, from the throat to the heel, from the throat to the hip joint, and just breathing into that space that you create. When you're ready, you'll step back to downward dog. Pressing the floor away, lifting the sit bones, lower belly hollows out. And then we'll either lowering the knees to the mat, or you can bend the elbows, but lower down and then inhale into Bhujangasana. Some of you may prefer to come into upward dog, but do take the thing that is easily available and feels right to you energetically at this moment. Sit bones together, legs are active, and keeping the shoulders down and stay long in the back of the neck. Draw the shoulder blades down and then just open through the front body, open breathing, because we tend to sit in a compressed way and don't really get to breathe down into the lower ribs in the way we'd like to. So opening up your diaphragmatic breath, and when you're ready, we'll come back to downward dog. Pressing through the hands, perhaps onto the hands and knees, and then all the way into downward facing dog, kind of finding your alignment again. And when you're ready, you're stepping the left foot forward so that we can take the lunge on the other side. There are a couple of other poses that would substitute for a lunge. Virabhadrasana 1 would be a good option if that's something that you enjoy. But again, that all-important length across the groin, the hip joint, and moving the spine deeper into the body. Knee can be up, knee can be down, whatever works for you, but make sure you keep the shoulders relaxed on the top shoulders and down, moving down the back through the shoulder blades. So there's a sense of connection between the shoulder girdle and the pelvis and strong support through the legs and the pelvis. When you're ready, we'll back to downward dog. And then let's take one more pass through upward dog or cobra pose. So kind of lowering down and on the inhale, cobra pose. Sit bones together so the back body's activated. Shoulder blades together and down. And lifting up through the front. Feel the front of the spine in this pose and breathe through the core of the body here. When you're ready, exhaling, coming down. Press through the hands all the way back to downward dog. And then this time we'll take a breath or two in downward dog, just kind of finding an alignment for yourself. Lifting the sit bones and hollowing out right above the pubic bones so that the pelvic floor can lift and the organs of the abdomen lift away from the pelvic floor. So this reversal in gravity is an important component of the efficacy of this sequence and of all of asana in general, to be able to kind of reset and reseat the organs of the abdomen into their rightful places and energetically allow that circulation. So when you're ready now, we'll step one foot and then the other forward behind the hands. And then you can shift your weight so you're right over the arches of the feet. Lift the arches of the feet, lift the sit bones. Knees can be soft. Soften the back of the neck and allow the weight of the head to kind of lengthen the spine. And then bend the knees, keep the knees bent as you open the arms out to the side and unfold from the crease of the hips into the chair pose or Utkatasana. Feet into the floor and a length through the whole length of the body now. So it's the feet into the floor and the weight of the body dropping that allows you to lengthen through the arms and breathing through the easily through the core of the body. When you're ready, you'll straighten the legs and fold the arms out to the side and down. Take a breath or two, feeling the that kind of new sense of being at home in the body and the awakening of the body and the ease of the breath. And then step back with the left foot facing the long edge of your mat. So now, from this position, you can take either Trikonasana or bend the knee and take the side angle pose. So if you bend the knee, you're going to rest the forearm on the thigh. And then draw the sit bones together on the back body and the shoulder blades together on the back and lengthen through the spine. So think more about lengthening through the core of the body and less about how far you're reaching. And in fact, reach on the diagonal instead of just straight alongside the head. And another way of working with this, which is particularly helpful for the rib cage, if you and the thoracic spine, if you're a little tight, which many of us are from sitting long hours hunched over our desks, bring the arm around behind you and perhaps all the way around so you can catch the thigh, if not just however far it goes. And you can see how that really brings a different dynamic into the shoulder girdle and to the rib cage and helps you to move the spine deeper into the body. You can do this in either Trikonasana or in this pose. Come out whenever you're ready, and then just switch your feet to the other side. Again, starting by engaging the back body, engaging the sit bones and the shoulder blades, and then bend the knee and fold to the left, or straighten the leg if you're working with Trikonasana. Strong lift on the inside arch of the, in this case, right foot. And thinking about a long line from the ankle, outer edge of the heel through the fingertips. So there's a long line here, but keeping the ribs pulled in so that there's length as opposed to a buckling out. But drawing in and broadening the back body, broadening into the lumbar spine area, and moving the thoracic spine deeper into the body. And again, you may want to bring the arm around behind the waist just to give a little bit of an extra opening to this area, the thoracic spine area, that doesn't get much movement in our sitting posture. Make sure you're breathing. The face, jaw, eyes are soft, the whole breath, and that you feel from the feet all the way through the core of the body and out through the crown of the head. And then as you like, you'll come up on an inhalation. And now let's step to the short edge of your mat. And just to kind of reconnect yourself, let's bend the knees, open the arms out to the side and up alongside the head. Just a breath or two in Utkatasana so that you re-establish this connection through the core of the body. A couple of breaths, and then when you're ready, straighten the legs and open the arms out to the side and step your feet slightly apart and drop your weight down so your hands are on your thighs. And on an exhale, strongly contract in the abdominal wall and the pelvic floor. We did this on the floor, but now you press the feet into the floor and contract here. And then on the inhale, we're going to release. And then again, just sort of a strong contraction, even a scooping up from the pelvic floor and the lower belly. And again, an inhale, just feeling. So this whole area gets stagnant. And when the pranic hub gets stagnant, which is the pranic hub is right here in the lower part of the abdomen, then all of the systems of the body become less energized, if not stagnant. So important for us sitters to consciously activate much more than we would need to in just ordinary work, ordinary walking up the hill, ordinary walking around or ordinary breathing. Instead, you want to emphasize the contraction in here and really squeeze on the exhale so that we get movement. And you can feel that little extra flush of energy moving through the body after doing just a few repetitions of this. Good. And then we'll take a transition to the floor back through Utkatasana, so kind of stepping your feet where they need to be under the hips. On an inhale, reaching up, and on the exhale, keeping the knees bent, fold forward, and you can lift the sit bones a little bit, and then step one foot and then the other back, so you're back in downward dog. Good, and then lengthening here, easy breath, kind of connection through the whole body, and then lower both knees to the mat. And as you sit back on the heels, draw your hands back alongside the pelvis and then all the way back behind you. You can have the toes turned under or be on the tops of the feet, but support yourself with your fingertips or your palms on the floor behind you. And then keeping the inner thighs moving towards each other, lift the pelvis. Just inhale and lift your pelvis up into line with your chest. Look at your heart so you're not hanging the head. But keep lifting the pelvis and keep bringing the thoracic spine again forward into the body. So this will open up the chest and the lungs, but you keep the pelvis lifted to give support and to bring energetically all that kind of stagnant, stuck energy in the thighs and pelvis all the way up through the core of the body. And that's what opens the heart, the lungs, the spine, the lower ribs, and all the way up into the head. Then, when you're ready, you'll sit back on the heels and you can fold forward just a breath or two to release any tension in the spine, particularly lower back. When you're ready, you'll sit up and bring your feet out in front of you about mat width apart. This is a seated twist, and you may know many of them, and any of them are fine. This is one that is particularly helpful for opening up the breath, in my experience. So you will keep the feet right where they are, but drop both knees in this case, she's moving to the right, and that would probably be ideal. So both knees drop to the right, and then turn, twisting around, both hands on the floor. And there are a number of ways to work this. You can walk the hands out. You can walk them closer to you. And you get a bit of a different stretch depending on where you position the hands and the arms. When you walk them a little closer, there's a capacity to get a little deeper right into the muscles right along the spine. And also you can breathe down into the diaphragm itself and feel where any restrictions are and see if you can soften and use the breath to open up. Come back on an inhale. Keep the feet where they are. Just lift the knees and then drop the knees to the left and swirling around to the left. And again, you'll find your position wherever it seems to be the most interesting for you. That's where you want to go. And again, let the breath drop down deeply into the lower ribs and use the inhale to help yourself find space and to open up places that might be stuck or stiff. This is particularly good also for not just the intercostals between the ribs, but also the side waist, which the big muscles on the side waist get opened here as well. So all of these are things that kind of get stuck together when we sit too long, especially when we sit kind of hunched over. Good. And coming back around on an inhale. And then to adjust that congestion and also the strength that we need to actually sit up really tall in a supported and integrated way, we're going to work from the forearms to strengthen the abdominal wall as well as the muscles along the back of the spine, the back body. So instead of hanging off of your shoulders, which Kim can demonstrate for you, just sinking, this is the do not do. And then you want instead to think about lifting the spine. So you're lifted up out of your shoulders and the spine is really long and straight. So part of what we need is not just strong muscles in the abdominal wall, but also along the spine, particularly through the lumbar in this case. So pressing your arms into the floor, then we will bring a couple of different positions for the legs. You can keep one foot on the floor and straighten the other leg at 90 degrees or about, depending on your flexibility. You can have both legs or knees bent, or you can have both legs straight, which is a more difficult version. Spread your toes. And keep your feet a little bit apart. You can see Kim is reaching equally and symmetrically up through both feet. And when their feet are slightly apart, you can make sure your feet are square and that you're working the inner and outer edges of the legs equally. So soft face, breathing, and just notice again the work in the abdominal wall and the lower back, and even just being in this position may be giving you that. If you have any extra oomph left, on the exhale, you will slowly lower the right leg in this case. Use your breath to be long, slow, deep, and relaxed. And then you hold it on the inhale and hold it on the exhale. Again, a relaxed breath. And then on the next inhale, slowly with the length of the inhale, lifting the leg back. And then with the length of the exhale, long, slow, deep breathing, you're exhaling the leg down. You hold it on the inhale and long and slow. And on the exhale, long and slow. And on the inhale, you lift the leg back. And then we'll do just one more on each side, depending on how strong you're feeling at any given moment or how often you are actually doing these kinds of practices. You may need to work with an easier version. Again, it's fine to drop your foot to the floor at any time so your pelvis feels more stable and or to bend a knee so that you can actually maintain the alignment here. It's not only the strength that you want to keep, but also if you lose your control through the core of the body, you run the risk of straining the lower back and you'll feel a little sore. So again, you want to make sure that alignment is the most important part of what you do here. And however many repetitions you can manage is fine, but usually 3 to 4 or 5 is all you really need. And then you want to bend the knees and feet to the floor. And now you can either kind of open your knees out to the side and fold forward just to soften the back, or you can lay back on the, just rolling down and soften your back onto the mat. So either of those, and in that case, you want to bring the knees up and just move a little bit side to side as well. Just to release any tension that might be still lingering in the lower back. Good, so that's a really important practice for whatever sequence you're doing at any time, because it doesn't take much time to really create the activation and strength through this really important core area of the body. And the next pose tends to open up the, or just create a lot of strength in the backside of the body, so a very important counter pose to sitting as well. So you're going to roll over face down onto the mat. And we'll begin with the arms alongside with just an extended boat pose. So on the forehead, resting breath. And on the next exhale, the sit bones move towards each other. So you're going to kind of create some engagement through the back body, which tends to, again, get lost in our sitting lifestyle. Sit bones together, and on the inhale, lift the legs. They may not lift very high. In fact, for most of us, they won't, but try to keep them straight. So rather than bending the knees, see if you can lengthen the leg and lift it at the same time. And then on the next inhale, lift the chest, arms, and head. And reach back with the arms so they actually draw the shoulder blades down and the shoulders down. So you're kind of countering the rounding tendency in the upper body as well. And breathe. And you may find that it's not that easy to stay here for 4 or 5 breaths, but if you can, this would be the pose for you. And you may want to repeat this pose instead of doing the locust, which we will do next. But if you have the capacity to or the interest in working with a locust pose, take a resting breath, and for the locust pose, the weight is on the arms. This is Shalabhasana. The weight is on the arms, the sternum, and the chin. So this is already somewhat of a challenge, and it already works in the upper spine just by going into that position. So you want to be on your chin rather than your forehead, and that tends to bring this part of the spine a little deeper into the body. You can either use fists with your hands, interlace the hands, or palms down. The palms down tends to stabilize a bit more. Interlacing may give you a bit more leverage or be more stable in that sense, and the fist gives you more strength. But you do need the arms to be as straight as possible, and if you can, the more of the torso you can get on the arms, the easier it will be, because what you'd like to do is lift the pelvis completely up off the floor. And Kim is moving right into both legs lifting. And if you're strong enough, that would be exactly where you'd want to go. And then you press the arms down and lift just a little more to lift the pelvis up off the arms. And it may or may not happen, especially in the beginning. But that is an intensely activating and strengthening for the whole back body. So it's a wonderful posture for all of us, particularly for our current lifestyles. So a couple of easier variations, and one of those is a single leg, which you can do from this position, just lifting one leg and then lifting the other. And you can hold, or you can just repeat, kind of build some strength here. It also realigns the back of the pelvis, and that you can imagine being important because of our tendency to sit so much. So that readjustment across the SI joint is important too. Another interesting single leg version is to bend one knee and rest the other leg in the foot. And then see if you can righten the pelvis so it's square. And that is just a kind of a lovely adjustment through the back of the pelvis. And it gets the feeling of the Shalabhasana because the pelvis is really lifted and you're stabilizing through the arms. So even though it's not quite as strengthening or as challenging to your strength as a two-legged version, it's a lovely thing to try. And of course, you'll want to do both sides. Remember to keep the arms really active, that you'd like to be able to, you know, it's a kind of a inverted, backward bend arm balance. So when you're able to get your pelvis and your legs lifted off of the arms, you really are using the strength of the arms to stabilize as you lift the torso up behind you. So this is the ultimate counter pose for how we normally operate. Excellent. Now, there's one other variation that's really the most relaxing and realigning in a sense, and that's to use a bolster. It doesn't have the strengthening quite as much as the others, but it might work for you. Again, chin and sternum are on the floor, and both legs are lifting. And if you can lift off the bolster, so much the better, although you want to keep your chin down and your sternum down, so you know, your pelvis may not lift off the bolster, but you get the sense of the engagement and also the alignment because of the lift. So it's a propped Shalabhasana. So a few breaths here. And when you come down, you want to come into child's pose. So any strain in the lower back is countered by working in the child's pose. So breathe into the back. Feel the gentle lengthening of the spine. If child's pose is not comfortable for any reason, you can always roll over and draw the knees in. It gives you the same or close to the same kind of rounding in the back. Now we'll shift our focus back to the shoulder girdle. We've mentioned how the inverted poses are really important for us, and a particularly wonderful and favorite of mine is this one, which is a modification of downward facing dog, which we refer to as the dolphin pose, although I'm not quite sure why. So you shift your weight forward, but make sure you get your forearms anchored properly. The elbows are about shoulder width apart, and the hands need to be as far apart as the elbows. I'll just say in advance, the tendency is for the hands to rotate inward and the elbows to splay out because you lose your width up here, and this that position kind of plays into the misalignment and the weakness in the shoulder girdle. So make sure you're very rigorous about keeping your arms in position here. You can think about rolling the inside of your wrist down into the mat and really sticking the forearms onto the mat. And then you turn the toes under and lift the pelvis and you can walk in. Keep your chin lifted. This is the only place where you want to keep your head way up. And that helps to drive the spine, the thoracic spine, which tends to get rounded deeper into the body and to create strength in the shoulder girdle. So you can stay here, and this is challenging for many of us, so this might be as far as you go. If you have a little capacity to get really long here and feel pretty strong, Then you can walk the toes in a little. Remember, the heels can be up, the knees can be bent. We're not really worried about the legs. It's the shoulder girdle and the spine. So you can walk in, and the more closer you walk in, the more weight comes onto the shoulder girdle, so the more challenging it becomes. So you get complete control over how much challenge you're giving yourself. And then finally, before we collapse, you lift up out of the shoulders, look at your the floor ahead of you, and then shift your weight forward, but not down as much as forward, and then lift way up out of your shoulders and back, as if you're moving back into downward dog. And then you can try that again. And just a couple of these, I promise you, is going to be really challenging. So you want to lift up, and you feel that lift up out of the shoulder joint and back, and then coming forward, up and down and forward, and then again pressing into the arms and lifting up out of the shoulder joints and back. And the whole time this part of the spine is moving deeper into the chest. If you do this a few times every day, it will cure anything that ails you in your upper body, shoulders, neck, provided that you are not creating pain for yourself or that you can actually do it. It will also protect you from any kinds of misalignments and injuries that would follow from it. So it's just a wonderful all-purpose practice in a very short period of time. And then as you would like to, you lower the knees to the mat, and then you may feel that the perfect thing to do here is to put the crown of the head on the floor. And you want to keep your weight on the hands and knees so that you can completely control how much weight you bring through the core of the body and onto the very crown of the head. And you can turn your toes under and lift your pelvis a little bit, but you don't have to. So it really is not about moving towards anything else, but rather just establishing an energetic connection from the crown through the shoulder and upper spine and all the way into the pelvis. So you feel that connection with the crown of the head and the pelvis. And you see how the shoulder girdle supports that core central channel alignment. So it's very satisfying to bring that little pressure onto the crown of the head in this position, but being very careful, especially if your neck is a problem. In fact, you might want to skip that if you have any neck injuries. When you're ready, you'll sit back. And then we'll come onto our backs. You just take a breath or two to make sure you get reconnected in your normal upright position, and then come down onto the floor in your back in Shavasana with the knees bent. And you may want to bring both knees a little bit side to side again, just to kind of realign through the pelvis. And then as you like, we'll roll up into the bridge pose. So arms down alongside and press the feet into the floor. Make sure your knees stay about hip width apart. Don't let them splay out, to work strongly through the feet and press the arms into the floor again so that the spine moves deeper into the front of the body. And you roll to the outer edges of the shoulders. If you can interlace your hands under you, that may help you to get more of an opening in the chest. You bring the shoulder blades closer together under you. And then you can lift the chest and the sternum a little bit more. And you find the breath dropping a little deeper. So this has the advantage of not only opening the upper body, but also, as the inverted poses tend to do, bringing energy from the lower body into the upper body and just making that connection. So we'll take a few breaths here, and there are many variations that you can do here, so any of them that you know and love are fine, including a bolster to support you. And when we're ready, we're going to step into inverted action pose, Viparita Karani. There are a number of ways of coming into here. If you're on a bolster, you just step your one foot up and then the other. You may be able to do that from the bridge pose, as you see Kim can do, by bringing her elbows a little further under her and resting her pelvis in the heels of her hands. And then she's able to step her feet in towards the sky and coming up. I'm going to drop the tailbone towards the floor, and you can keep your knees bent if you like, and the legs can even come out at an angle. It doesn't really matter too much. What you'd like to do is begin to get the pelvis in a more neutral position, so even dropping the hips down, the hip joint down level with the top of the hip, if you can kind of flatten out the lower belly. And sometimes that's easier to do with a bolster, which we'll do here in a moment. Another way to come into this pose is just to roll up and down the spine in a rocking chair, which in and of itself is a nice softening awareness into the back body. So that might be another way of getting to this pose. And again, then you can either support in your hands, as Kim is doing here, or the perennial favorite of resting the pelvis on the bolster. Adjust the bolster in the way that makes it most comfortable for you and keeps the rib cage really supported on the floor. You can also do this pose with legs up the wall. And that is even more supported and more restful. And you can do that either with or without the bolster. Think about softening your face and the eyes and the jaw and letting your breath be nurturing and supportive. And sometimes this pose feels good for 5-10 minutes even. But for most of us, a few minutes will be all that we really need to sort of feel resettled into our pelvis and rebalanced from the upper and lower bodies. So whenever you're ready, we'll step out. And then it will come into the final relaxation. So in Shavasana, I'm going to find the whole back body soft and taking a breath or two, letting your attention be in the back of the body. And as you begin to let go of effort, you feel the back body spreading on the mat. Perhaps to the point where you actually need to rearrange in order to give space for the body to drop down into the mat. So if you find that you need to shift a little bit to give more of the back into the floor, then honor that feeling and really allow the back to soften and spread. And as you do that, you find the front body, energy in the front body settling, and the mind resting in the space of the body with the movement of the breath. So you can let go of effort. You can let go of all the effort it takes to move through the sequence of poses, to move through your day, to move through your life. And allow the earth to support you. Allow the breath to support you and nurture you. And let go of any internal subtle holdings that you might notice around breathing. So the breath isn't held back, isn't pinched. And also it's not pushed. So there aren't pauses and jerks, but rather kind of a smooth, easy flow. And then being attentive to the state of energy in the body so that the body softens and allows the body to breathe, allow the body to breathe. Feel the base of the skull and soften from the base of the skull to the base of the neck. And that allows the jaws and the face to soften, and the eyes. So the energy of the face is also released. The eyes turn inward, And it takes a moment or two. Sometimes you soften the eyes and jaw and then notice the tension has crept back in. So continue to soften anytime you notice that an unnecessary engagement has come back into the face or anywhere else in the body. Keeping the breath smooth and even. Feeling the center of the head, that would be right behind the eyebrow center, right between the eyes, deeper into the head and to the base of the skull, softening and being aware of that space. And then soften all the way down through the jaws, the root of the tongue, front of the throat to the base of the neck and the hollow of the throat, and rest your attention in that space. And then soften across the shoulders, tops of the shoulders into the shoulder joints, and down through the arms to the elbows, and out through the forearms to the wrists. And then from the roots of the fingers and the thumbs through the joints of the fingers and thumbs to the fingertips and the thumb tips. And let the fingertips be sensitive and breathe into your fingertips. And then draw your attention back through the fingers, in the joints of the fingers, the roots of the fingers, and into the wrists, up the forearms to the elbows, and through the upper arms to the shoulders. And feel the shoulder blades, the collarbones, the base of the neck, and the hollow of the throat. And draw your attention down into the center of the chest. Feel the back of the rib cage on both sides. You feel the sternum, the space between the sternum and the thoracic spine. Breathing into the center of the chest. And then draw your attention down a little lower. Feel the movement of the breath where it originates. Feel the navel center, the lumbar spine, the space in between. And then draw your attention down into the pelvis, the sacrum, the lower belly. Feel the hip joints and the thighs. And then feel the knees and move your attention through the lower legs into the ankles, into the roots of the toes, and through the joints of the toes into the toe tips. Be aware of breathing into your toe tips. And then draw your attention back through the length of the toes, the length of the feet, to the ankles, and up through the lower legs, to the knees, and through the thighs into the hips. Feel the width of the pelvis, the sacrum, the length of the lumbar spine and the navel. And then feel the back of the rib cage, the thoracic spine and the sternum and the space in between. The shoulder blades, the collarbones, and your arms. And bring your attention to the hollow of the throat, the base of the neck, and up into the center of the head, the space behind the center of the eyebrows. Being aware of the whole body, being aware of the body breathing. Feel the back of the body, the front of the body, and the inner space of the body. Let the mind rest in the awareness of the body. And being aware of the breath, feel the touch of the breath in the nose. And notice how the breath connects your awareness of the inner space and the space around you. And then feel the touch of the body on the floor, the weight of the body, the space around you. Feel the breath moving, connecting inner and outer space. Feeling the ease and the grace and the spaciousness of the body and breath and mind. When you're ready, you could take a slightly deeper breath. Feel the touch of the breath, feel the weight of the body, feel the space around you, and gently bring yourself back into motion as you intend to move on into the rest of your day. Gently moving the fingers and the toes. And when you're ready, you can bend the knees and roll to one side and take a breath or two on your side before you come up to sitting. Reestablish your connection with your inner awareness and with the ease in your breath. Just noticing it takes a breath or two to reconnect. And as you're ready, you can sit up. Keep your eyes closed just for a couple of breaths so that this inner connection becomes part of your experience of yourself in your daily life. You're feeling the inner pure space of being in you and the world around you, and allowing yourself to be present in both places. And as you like, open your eyes and Om, peace, peace, peace.